Good morning. I'm wondering why you're here. Did you hope to get enlightened? Good. So today I want to talk about everyday life. And hopefully you've accepted the fact, at least from your presence, that this is part of your everyday life. But as Zen students, we often get caught up in our ideas about enlightenment, don't we? What is it? What does it mean? When will I get there? Every day in the evening gatha, we recite, "Awaken, take heed, do not squander your life." No one wants to do that, do they? Squander your life. That would be like throwing away a winning lottery ticket without checking the numbers. No, we want to be successful, don't we? Isn't that part of the American culture? You want to be successful at your job. You want to be successful in your love life. You want to be successful in your spiritual life. You want to raise successful children. But very often we don't feel successful, do we? Very often we feel aimless and out of control. And sometimes we even feel lost. Joseph Campbell once quoted a philosopher by the name of Schopenhauer saying, "When you look back on your life, it looks as though it were a plot. But when you are in it, it's a mess. Just one surprise after another. Then later, you see that it was perfect. So I have a theory that if you are on your own path, things are going to come to you. Since it's your own path and no one has ever been on it before, there's no precedent. So everything that happens is a surprise and is on time." In contemplating this thought from Joseph Campbell, I wondered what we might do to develop more trust in the current state of affairs in our life. However we might view our present circumstances, and how we might learn to see and to trust that our Zen practice will help us out. I found a koan in the Mumon Kan, which I think seems to speak to this question of trusting. It's case number 19. Everyday life is the path. Joshu asked Nansen, "What is the path?" Nansen said, "Everyday life is the path." Joshu asked, "Can it be studied?" Nansen said, "If you try to study, you will be far, far away from it." Joshu then said, "Well, if I don't study, how can I know that it's the path?" Nansen said, "The path does not belong to the world of perception. Neither does it belong to the world of non-perception. Cognition is a delusion, and non-cognition is senseless. If you want to reach the true path beyond doubt, place yourself in the same freedom as the sky. You name it neither good nor not good." At these words, Joshu was enlightened. Mumon had a comment on this. He said, "Well, Nansen could melt Joshu's frozen doubts at once when Joshu asked his questions, but I doubt if Joshu reached the point that Nansen did, he needed 30 more years of study. And then Mumon wrote this verse. In spring, hundreds of flowers. In autumn, a harvest moon. In summer, a refreshing breeze. In winter, snow will accompany you. If useless things do not hang in your mind, any season is a good season for you. Now, I found some important points in thinking about this koan that really spoke to me. First of all, our everyday life is our path. Enlightenment is found nowhere else than right here. We can find our way by dropping our preferences. Remember, we just finished studying that wonderful Sin Sin Ming, or Trust in Mind, where Senkan said, the great way is not difficult for those who do not pick or choose. And it takes a long time. I mean, Joshu, the great Zen master Joshu, needed 30 more years of study. And finally, if you can rid your mind of useless things, any season or any day is a good season for you. In his poem, Mumon made it clear that seasons follow one after another without any effort. Can we learn to trust that our seasons will follow naturally without any effort on our part, and that all of these seasons together create our path, but our path is something we can only see by looking back? Part of building a trusting foundation for our lives is studying ourselves and the choices we make. Who is this person that I call me? What is really real? And am I really on my path? Or have I followed someone else's? And what or where is the ordinary mind that Nansen implies in his response to Joshu? To answer these questions, we come back to our Zen practice. Dogen wrote a beautiful sutra that helps us understand the koan of our life, and it's called the Genjo Koan. This sutra is the source of a famous mantra which we hear quite often. To study the self is to forget the self, and to forget the self is to be enlightened by the 10,000 things. I think we mostly know or have experienced, at least if we've been practicing meditation for a while, I think we know what studying the self feels like and looks like. In our practice, it's pretty hard to avoid. But I wondered, what does it mean to be enlightened by 10,000 things? That's a lot of teachers. That's a lot of confusing information. How can all of this help us on our path? Our practice, our philosophy of Buddhism, helps us understand 10,000 things through the truth of interdependence. There are not 10,000 things or all of reality. 10,000 things is like all of reality. It's not all these separate things. It's just one entity. We don't have to figure it out because of this truth of interdependence. But that requires really close attention on our part. Because the non-human worlds speak a language that's very different from ours. Many, many years ago when we first came to Florida, we took the kids to the headquarters of Everglades National Park, and this most wonderful ranger tried to tell us how to appreciate the Everglades. Now, if you've ever driven across Alligator Alley, and especially if you were new to Florida, you probably thought, oh, this is so boring. I mean, just miles and miles of nothing, maybe a little bird, maybe a little, who knows, but just, woo, boring. But that's where the close attention comes in. And in this talk, the ranger explained about the apple snail. The apple snail is really unique to Florida. You only find it in the Everglades. The apple snail is the only food of the snail kite. So it's a really, really important part of the Everglades environment. We have these tremendous hurricanes here in Florida, and the original peoples that lived here, of course, did not have Steve Weigel and AccuWeather radar and forecasts. We didn't have the technology then. But they knew from paying attention to the 10,000 things, to all the animals and plants around them, that something big may be coming. In fact, the apple snail, several days before a hurricane would hit, would climb up a tree and cement itself to the bark of the tree. Mm-hmm. And that's how the first peoples knew that a really big storm was on its way to Florida. So that's kind of struck me as an example of how important it is to pay attention to the plants, the animals, and even the tiniest things. I asked him if I could take some apple snails home to live at my house, so in case there was a really bad storm coming, I would know right away. But he said, no, that would not be possible. But back to this idea of forgetting ourselves, Katagiri Roshi tells us that Dogen's meaning of this word, forgetting ourself, is the teaching of right understanding. There is no particular substance called a self that we attach to. Dogen's way of merging this, of forgetting the self, is to merge into the rhythm of life itself and experience the real meaning of existence. At the time you realize your true self, when you pass by your small, egoistic self and pay attention to the big scale, the 10,000 things, you find that your life is supported by the whole world. Then your life is very broad. It contains all beings and influences all circumstances, imparting wonderful fragrances everywhere. How often do we allow ourselves to know that we are supported by everything else in the universe? That comes back to this learning to trust. I heard a TED talk recently. It was kind of an old TED talk, but it really caught my attention. Because when I turned it on, the speaker was saying that all engineering majors should take biology. And my ears perked up because our grandson is studying engineering, and I thought, I better check in and see what this lady is saying, and if I need to let him know to sign up for biology. But she was someone who had entered this discipline of biomimicry, and that intrigued me even further. At one point she said, "If I could reveal anything that is hidden from us, at least in modern cultures, it would be to reveal something that we have forgotten, that we used to know as well as we knew our own names, and that is that we live in a competent universe. We are part of a brilliant planet, and we are surrounded by genius. Biomimicry is a new discipline that tries to learn from those geniuses and takes advice from them, design advice. That's where I live, and it's my university as well. I'm surrounded by genius. I cannot help remember the organisms and the ecosystems that know how to live here gracefully on this planet. And this is what I would tell you to remember if you ever forget this. Remember what happens every year. This is what keeps its promise. While we're doing bailouts or debating other economic issues or political issues, guess what? Spring happens. The trees put out their leaves. The water and the nourishment begins to rise vertically up the tree trunks, all without our doing anything about it. Life goes on." And Joanna Macy writes, "To be alive in this beautiful self-organizing universe, to participate in the dance of life, with senses to perceive it, lungs that breathe it, organs that draw nourish from it, that is a wonder beyond words." So let's get out of ourselves a little bit. Let's begin to be astounded by all that is around us. Even though it's October and there's no cool weather and we live in this very hot state and there's storms brewing out in the Atlantic, we have no idea if another Irma or Florence or Maria is coming our way. Let's just be trusting. Let's feel that we are supported. Recently in Lion's Roar magazine, a teacher by the name of Zenju Manuel asks, "But what if our delusions aren't a barrier to enlightenment?" In Hotsu Mujoshin, which means on giving rise to the unsurpassed mind, Dogen wrote, "Thinking is the mystery of the practice by which we become intimate with ourselves and the universe." In other words, when we become intimate with our own thinking, delusions become the earth upon which the moon of enlightenment shines. In Dogen's vision, the relationship between delusion and enlightenment within our lives is necessary. Whether we are angry, enraged, aggrieved, or content, we are right where we should be. No part of our humanity needs to be tossed away. We need all that we were born with to navigate life, and that includes delusions. In the time between 8 o'clock and when we got up for this last kinhin, I think I could have written a book just listing all the thoughts and delusions that rolled through my mind. So here, this person is saying, perhaps we should pay attention to those delusions. But in the koan that I read to you, Nansen's ordinary mind is not this deluded mind, but it is a natural awareness that contains all of what we experience, including our deluded mind. And it is through this deep container of awareness that we can hold everything, everything that life throws at us. I'm starting to read Shohaku Okumura's new book on the Mountains and River Sutra. It's quite deep. It's very deep, actually. It will take me a while to get through it. But right in the beginning, in his introduction, he had this wonderful passage. He said, "Appreciate your life. Every day is a good day. Even though life is puzzling, full of paradox, detours, and disappointments and sadness, our true nature is wise, nurturing, and joyful." Yes, our true nature, the ordinary mind that Nansen was speaking about, the mind that unfolds for Joshu, is wise, nurturing, and joyful. Dogen gave us a teaching on the three minds. We have grandmother mind, parental mind, and joyful mind. Grandmother mind allows us to love with understanding and forgiveness. Parental mind encourages us to give guidance and care to others where it may be helpful. And joyful mind allows us to find peace regardless of all circumstances. These minds encourage us to dwell in the Brahma Viharas, or the divine abodes of behavior, which are loving kindness, sympathetic joy, equanimity, and compassion. And even if we're not sure if we're having a good day, as long as we are abiding in these states of mind, then certainly the people around us will be having a better day. I go back to Dan and Katagiri and the book that we just started studying on Saturday. Gosh, it's really a wonderful, wonderful book. And this passage was very helpful to me. We study and practice our Buddhist teachings in order to go deep into our own life. There you discover your original place. The place where all beings live together in peace before we exist as individual beings. From that place, you can join the flow of life, living in harmony with all beings and walking together. This is the guideline for Buddhist study and practice. So I would like to close by reading another version of that koan from the Mumonkan Ordinary Mind. Maybe you will hear it differently. The normal is the way. Joshu asked Nansen, "What is the way?" Nansen said, "The normal mind is the way." Joshu asked, "Can it be approached deliberately?" Nansen said, "If you try to aim for it, you thereby turn away from it." Joshu said, "If one does not try, how can one know it is the way?" Nansen said, "The way is not in the province of knowledge, yet not in the province of unknowing. Knowledge is false consciousness. Unknowing is indifference. If you really arrive at the inimitable way, it is like space, empty and open. How can you insist on affirmation and denial?" At these words, Joshu was enlightened. In spring, there are 100 flowers. In autumn, there is the moon. In summer, there are cool breezes. In winter, there is snow, except if you live in Florida. If no idle matters hang on your mind, then it is a good season in the human world. So today, I invite you into the intimacy of the Sangha. I hope you will be feeling safe, and I encourage you to rest within yourself. Whether you feel most of your path is behind you, or you still have a ways to go, know that by taking this seat, you are Buddha. Yes, our friend Mara will throw up delusions, but enfold them into your vast, ordinary mind of deep and wide awareness. Welcome everything. Resist nothing. Find the peace that passes all understanding.